Welcome to the Meet Hope podcast, where we have conversations about faith and hope. Hope is one church made of people living out their faith through two expressions, in person and online. We believe a hybrid faith experience can lead to a growing influence in our community and our world for the sake of others. Welcome to Hope.
Welcome to the Meet Hope podcast. My name is Heather Mandela, and today I have my friend Rachel Abad with me. So I am excited to hear a little bit more about Rachel and her story and share that with all of you. So Rachel, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Heather. Thank you so much for having me today. I am a nurse practitioner. I have five children. We have a little bit of an age gap. So my oldest is 24 and my youngest is 5. So life is very interesting. Obviously I'm a working mom. I am married and I have been coming to Hope for about 10 years, just under 10 years.
Excellent. So 5 kids. So now you had the first 4 and then a gap and then Ezra.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. So tell me, what is the most challenging thing about having an age gap?
I think it's so silly to say this, but you almost forget the little nuances that happen throughout each developmental stage. So when I was getting ready to have Ezra, I thought this is going to be such a breeze. It's going to be a walk in the park.
Done this 4 times.
Yeah. Not taking into account that I was 14 years older, well established in a career, that, you know, Ezra just didn't really like to sleep for the first 3 to 4 years of his life. So all of that was new and you're kind of learning it all over again. And then you feel kind of silly because you're like, I have 4 other children. Like, how could I feel? And then things just change because with time, like, we know more. So,
yep. What you can do, when you're supposed to feed them, what you're supposed to feed them. Yeah, all of that stuff is different. Yes. So it definitely makes it interesting. And you're dealing with preschool and college at the same time.
Yes.
And that has its own challenges.
It does. And that's the other interesting thing, I guess, as a mom to adult children, is they still need you in various ways. So it's not as easy as they move on. Yes.
Yes, they really, it doesn't ever stop. And we do. We always need our moms, right?
That's right.
We always need our moms. And some of those young college students just need us more than others. That's all.
A little love.
Yeah, a little love. They just need a little love. It's a good thing. Well, thank you. So now tell me a little bit about your faith walk, right? So we're talking about my story. So I want to unpack a little bit for people listening what your faith story looks like.
So I was raised in a Christian household and I met Jesus at a very young age. I think I was 10. And I loved going to church. I loved Jesus. I don't think I went through a tumultuous time in my teens, but I don't feel like I ever abandoned the faith. Like, sure. I always felt like I always identified as a Christian. I knew I loved God and I wanted to serve God. I just didn't know what that looked like because of how everything kind of unfolded in my life.
Sure.
So I got pregnant at 16. Obviously, that did not go over well in my household. So I had a lot of guilt, like, with putting my family through that because they really, like, it was a lot for them to have to go to church and then have this happen. Like,
sure.
Like,
they were struggling with the implications of it as well.
Yes.
Yes.
So after high school, I got married right out of high school, trying to do the right thing. Mm. And it was just not to an ideal person. Mm-hmm. And it took me a really long time to, like, realize that and then come to grips with, you know, I'm in a bad situation now and this will never get better. And I have tried and I have prayed about this and I was not in a very supportive church community. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of floundered. And then I did just stop going to church because when you are 24 with 4 kids and nobody else in the church, like, they don't have a nursery. So whenever you show up, you are the nursery. That it just becomes like, well, why even show up? Like, there's no TV to watch the message. I'm just back here with everybody's kids.
Yeah.
So then I feel like I got trapped in feeling so guilty and so ashamed of myself that I just stopped going to church. Mm-hmm. I am very thankful for just Christians that I know that never gave up on me and like long-term friends I've had. But it finally came to a moment. Like, thankfully, I was able to pursue an education, better myself. That's not a good word. Because not everybody has that opportunity to do that. But I'm very thankful that I was able to go to school despite the challenges that brought.
Challenging circumstances, yeah.
And I was actually with a bunch of coworkers, and we were as we started working together, I would tell them about my life, and they're like, Rachel, you're not in a normal, like, this is not normal. So, it was very scary for me, though, because I never wanted to be, like, I never wanted to be divorced. I thought, like, marriage was for life, and that's just what I needed to do, but it just didn't work.
It was clearly not a healthy environment for you.
Correct.
And it was, I'm glad that you had people who were giving you permission to acknowledge the dysfunction and giving you permission to acknowledge the fact that this was not the way it was supposed to function, right?
Correct.
Like, this is not the way a marriage is supposed to operate, that there was way too much hurt and pain going on here. And and so you were able to come to that really hard decision.
Yes. And I did. And I, again, I'm very, like, during that time, I still wasn't really in the church cause I was so embarrassed. It was like a very personally embarrassing thing. And then again, like, I think back to my parents, they had to like live through that. And I know that they didn't mean it, but that's kind of how it's like, well, first this happened and now this is happening. So, I was able to move on. I found a great, great partner. Within a couple of years, I relocated to Voorhees. And as my life was starting to get settled and I was starting to start anew, mm-hmm. I started attending a church that was local-ish, but not in Voorhees. So I noticed Hope driving around Voorhees one day, and I saw the sign that said visitors expected. And I really loved that sign. So I'm like, I feel like this is worth checking out. Like, it's in my town. This would be so great. So Easter Sunday 2015 was the first Sunday I attended.
That's awesome. So we're coming up on your 9-year anniversary.
Yes.
That's exciting.
It is.
I want to pause for a second, though, and I want to go back because I think that your experience, while we say it's not common and you know what I mean, like your experience wasn't a healthy experience, I want to talk a little bit about that shame and isolation that kept you from wanting to go to church. Because I think that's something that people can relate to.
Yes. Yeah, so I just felt like almost, it's hard to explain, but it's just, that's not how I foresaw my life. Like in my mind, I was like, I love God. I never lost that. So I was like 110%, like my life was in the church. I went to public school. I never cared. Like, I started a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Like, never was I embarrassed about being a Christian. But I went from having my life in the church to having no life anywhere.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think like there was any, I don't think my parents meant to.
Of course not. There was no maliciousness.
Right.
It was, everybody was doing the best they could.
But
that's not
like, I just like got the feeling. I'm like, you know what? If I having the choice to be out in public or be in my room, I'll just be in my room by myself. Like,
yeah.
Because it's just safer there. Like, I don't have people looking at me and no judgment. Like,
yeah.
And I think that just became an acquired behavior with time.
Yeah. And that in so many ways breaks my heart because you were hurting and isolated and vulnerable, and at a time where the church needed to be the church for you. And for whatever reason, it wasn't. And that can be really hard. So, hey, kudos to you for pushing through that and not letting that keep you there stuck, right? Because I think it's really easy for us to get stuck in that.
It is. And I'm thankful that I was able to move beyond that. And it took years, but I was able, thankfully, by the grace of God, able to push through it. And that's where I feel like I never abandoned the faith. I feel like the faith abandoned me. But looking back, I know that is absolutely not true. Sure. And I can see how God moved in my life through unconventional ways and ways that I maybe didn't expect. Mm. But I mean, I can't, like, there's no way I can explain to you how I've been able to just get through some of the times other than God was literally leading, sometimes dragging me, maybe with the shepherd's staff, but he had his hand on my life the entire way.
I love it. I love that. I love that. And I love to think, now I know you are a knitting fanatic.
Yes.
Right? You love your fiber, as you like to say, and I love that. I have to wonder, you just said that shepherd's crook. And I think of that, like, right? Like, so yes. Here you are, this lamb that, you know, the 99, so to speak. And it wasn't that you turned away from God, but through circumstances, you found yourself isolated, feeling like you weren't welcomed. And yet Jesus pursued you.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely. He went after you. And now you knit from lamb's wool. Yeah, no,
that's right.
But yeah, no, that's an awesome picture of that. So you started attending Hope because you saw the sign, mm-hmm. visitors expected. And why did you stay?
From the start, I will say this, the church I was going to was very big and it was very easy for me to get lost. And okay. I actually didn't mind getting lost. I was okay with that. I was okay with running in on a Sunday, sitting through service and running out. But when I stepped through the doors of Hope, I have this, I'm experiencing this community of people who genuinely are happy to see me. And it's not just the hello and then that's it. But I have people who are just interacting with me on a much warmer level, very welcoming, very kind, and just inviting. You can't walk into this building on a Sunday and not feel like you belong here, no matter what. And it's so funny because, well, it's not really funny, but like I have all these preconceived notions and these ideas and like just afraid. And every interaction I've had with people here is just very kind and loving, and they accept you for who you are, but they love you too much to let you stay the same.
That might be something we hear from the platform a fair amount, right? That God loves you exactly as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay in it, right? And that's the thing. And one of the things I love about your story is that it encapsulates so much of what we all experience, right? Life is messy. And we think life is supposed to look one way, and we think that we're normal. And then we realize there is no such thing as normal. It's a lie.
That's what coming to the church and listening to Pastor Jeff and Pastor Rick and you and everybody collectively, everything that was being discussed, I thought was very relevant to real life issues. Like, how do you live in this world and be an effective Christian, live your faith out more than just showing up on a Sunday? But what does that look like in real life? Yeah. And I think I got a lot from that because it's so easy to listen to a message where you hear idealized concepts, but how do I live that in real life? Like, how do I live that when I go to work and everybody's miserable? Mm-hmm. Or if I have a child going through like an existential crisis, like how do I help them through that from a Christian perspective?
Yeah. Well, and I love that. And I know you recently started a new job and it was one where you were struggling with, you know, what your place was, right? So it was a little bit different than the nursing care you'd provided before.
Yes.
And you were feeling maybe a little overwhelmed, a little, you're not sure your place. But I love that as we talked about it, you were able to see where God was going to use you.
Yes. So, and not to... I mean, not to idealize it, but you try to do what you can in the moment and for the people that you're there. So am I going to solve everybody's problems at my job? No, but maybe I can leave them with a smile on their face, or maybe I can just do something really little that in the moment seems very insignificant, but I mean, maybe they're just thirsty and want something to drink, or maybe they need to relay a message to like one of the other staff members. So just something really quick, just taking the time, or sometimes just sitting there and letting somebody
talk,
say what they want to say.
Yeah, letting them actually finish their sentence.
And, yes.
Or putting a hearing aid battery in so that they can hear.
Even though you are not an expert in that and it's not one that you've ever seen.
Yes. So, but that, again, it's that tangible hands-on, how do I become the hands and feet of Jesus where I am every day in the real life here and now? And that's a beautiful thing. So I know that you take that into your work with you every day. Tell me a little bit about the ways that you have grown your faith personally while you've been here.
So I started coming here, loved coming here. I got involved in a group called Painting with Praise because it was very safe. It was, I'm like, I can do this.
Low commitment, low fear factor. I don't need to know anything.
Exactly. I can just show up and paint. And I don't even have to be good at painting. I can just show up. So I met friends that way, or I met a couple of really great people. And then I just continued to pursue small groups. And granted, I just, with my work schedule and kids, and not that I have been the most compliant with attendance, but I've gotten better. And I just, every small group, if the messages, with the messages being as relevant as they are, the small groups are even more challenging and give me more to think about and give me more of a direction to study. So, and what I have noticed is that the more that I do small groups, the more faces I know and names I recognize. So when I show up to other things, or if I do show up on a Sunday, I know people now.
It's less scary. Yes, you will. Rachel is someone you might find online. She is one of our online hosts. So we are super grateful for that and all the time that she gives there. So if you are an online watcher or listener, participant, you are going to meet her there. And she also runs one of our, well, sometimes multiple small groups, but right now is running our knitting group. So tell us a little bit about why that's important to you.
Of course. First of all, I'm very passionate about fiber of all kinds. So, and I know that's funny. I think I was born an old soul, but I learned how to knit as a child, stepped away from it, and then I came back to it as an adult, and I just never stopped. And for me, it's a great way to settle my mind at night. Mm. And I never, you know, you knit like baby blankets or gifts for people here and there, but you never really think about the impact it could have on someone. And then I was talking to Dottie Han, and she had been running the knitting ministry here at Hope for years. And she said that there's a need for prayer shawls, baptism blankets, lap blankets for men who are in wheelchairs, that she was in desperate need. So I never really thought that I could use the knitting to impact people like in that way. And it's been a great, I would say it's a great avenue to use my passion to hopefully make somebody's day better.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I know we do that here so frequently, whether it is the parents receiving it for a child or someone who is ill or struggling receiving it, the difference that it makes, just knowing that there are people out there who were praying for them and thinking about them.
And that's really cool too, is that it's a very casual and relaxed group and we will take all skill levels, but just to have that intentionality of this is going to go to somebody, and who is this person that's going to be on the other end of this, and what might they be going through, and to really just pray, think, like, let this be a blessing to whoever gets it. It could be as small as it just made their day better. It could be as big as, you know, every time they're getting a chemo treatment, they're using the blanket and they're wrapping it for warmth and comfort. But it's our way of just sending hugs to people.
I love that so much. And not only does it bless the people who are receiving, but the people who are there. And I can attest, my blankets will probably never be received. I am not particularly good at this. But I love the community that occurs. You know, I love being with these people as they come together and we just have fun.
There's just something so much fun about just sitting, relaxing, and just...
Absolutely. And I know Dottie was so excited to have people under 50 who are interested in this hobby. So yes, so this is, and it's more than a hobby. It really is a full-on ministry.
We do exist. We are there.
Yes. We are there. We are, yes, fiber, pro fiber. And it's a great thing. So before Before we go on to our next portion, I do want to ask you, so if there are people out there who are struggling with fear, who are struggling with that, I'm not good enough, or I've been wounded, I've been hurt, the church did not show up for me, what would you want to say to them?
I would say you are at a safe place. People here care. So, and it can be hard to hear this, but don't limit yourself by not being open-minded to the messages, to becoming involved. This community here is an amazing group of people who are actual, genuine people. Like, you're going to see people how
we're messy,
how they treat you, like how you're being treated is not a show. It's not trying to impress anybody. These are people who just genuinely care and want to foster and have a sense of community with each other. So
awesome.
Welcome.
I love that. Thank you. Okay. So what we like to do, you've shared with us some really great stuff and some personal stuff. We want to learn some fun stuff about you too. So this next segment is rapid fire. I'm just going to ask you some quick questions, that will help us get to know you a little bit better. Okay. So pizza topping. What's your favorite pizza topping?
Extra cheese.
Fantastic. No meat, no nothing, just
nope,
cheese?
Just extra cheese.
Excellent. Are you a morning person or an evening person?
I'm a morning person.
Me too. How about your spouse?
Morning person.
Oh, is he?
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're both up at like 4:45 in the morning, ready to go.
Okay. See, we kind of just grunt at each other in the mornings.
Well, he's probably, shoots up. I'm more of the grunty person, but I've learned to become a morning person. And it really had, just for anybody listening, it really does change your life. You get a lot done.
You do get a lot done. I do love my mornings. I
now,
get
at
so
8
much done.
8 o'clock at night is a difference.
I'm asleep on the couch by 9. Yeah. Okay. Your coffee order.
Black.
Oh, that's because you're a morning person.
Exactly.
Right? Us morning people, we just want black
like
coffee.
I need to get the job done.
Get me the caffeine. Yes. Good. Favorite show that you've watched recently?
Ted Lasso. Over and over again. And I know I was late to get on that bus, but I'm there. I love it.
Love Ted. I'm right there with you. Ted Lasso is fantastic. We know your hobby. Mm-hmm. Do you have hobbies besides knitting?
I love to travel, which is another great reason to attend Hope online.
Yes.
Because you can take Hope with you wherever you go.
You can take it wherever you could go. You can watch it on demand. You can, so if you're like at Reykjavik, like you were, and your time zone doesn't
when
line up.
When you're in Iceland. And
you can watch it whenever works.
But that's also really awesome that you can bring your community. Like, you feel like it was so nice to be in another country and be like, oh, these are my people. Like, I'm going to church.
That is beautiful. I love that. And your favorite local place to eat?
I'm going to say Norma's.
Ah, Norma's. Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for sharing with us a little glimpse into what your life has looked like walking with Jesus. And I appreciate your honesty and your candor because, right, it's messy. We're all messy. And, but it's so much better to be messy together.
Absolutely.
Yes. So if you are out there and you are looking for that next step, we want to encourage you to check out meethope.org, find ways to get connected, and we hope you will find that community that allows you to grow as well. Until then, have a great week.
Thanks for being a part of the Hope community as we continue our conversations about faith and hope. If you don't already, please join us for worship on Sundays or on demand. You can learn more at meethope.org or find us on socials at meethopechurch.